Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio program on this Tuesday, December the 15th. And I hope that you've enjoyed a good day thus far and looking forward to the rest of the evening. And I hope that you will be blessed by the program that we have today, the broadcast, I should say, that we have today. I mentioned as I was voice tracking earlier that today I woke up with a song on my heart, and it was a blessing to me, and I was rejoicing in the Lord and just got a happy time there, had a happy time with the Lord and enjoyed that. It was a real blessing. And I'm going to start with that song, right, even before we go to prayer time. I'm going to start with that song. And it's a song my son Benjamin sang when he was here with us. And it's titled, If You Knew Him Like I Know Him. And I believe it'd be a blessing to your heart. Here's our youngest son, Ben, as he sings that song. Amen, amen. That blesses my heart every time I just even think about it. Amen. I'm glad our Savior is no longer in the grave. Hallelujah. He's alive and well. And I'm glad He's offering light to those in darkness. He's offering life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Oh my, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That just blesses my heart. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to try to regain my composure and get where we can pray and call on the Lord. It is prayer time on the program, and I hope that you'll pray with us at this time. I'm mentioning some things in request of prayer. I want us to keep praying for Brother Richard Owen, our pastor friend over in Fishersville, Virginia, that fell out of a tree on Friday a week ago, got all busted up, got numerous bones broken. They at one time had counted 14 bones, and now more than that are broken. Last I heard, they're not even counting, just saying multiple bones broken. And I mean all broke up, hips and ribs and legs. And so we want to remember him in prayer. He's in his 70s. Brother Owen's church needs our prayer as well, that God might bless them and help them through these days. Also, today is Brother Cater Dockery's birthday. I hope Brother Cater had a good birthday today and enjoys it the rest of the day. Brother Cater has a lot of pain in his shoulder a lot of times, and I want to remember him in prayer. He was having problems with that earlier last week and then on Sunday. And, of course, he's having some head congestion issues, and want to remember him in our prayers as well. Keep Brother and Sister Hall in our prayers. Their family's in, and I know they're enjoying that. But I'm going to pray God help their health to hold up and just bless and help and meet their needs there. All right? So mentioning these things, keep my wife in your prayers as well. The Lord might touch her and continue to help her as well. All right? Then the young man, Frankie Bryant's son, Josiah Bryant, down in Hattiesburg. I'm not sure the town they live in, but down that way, Lumberton, Georgia. I mean, not Georgia, but Mississippi, that area. And so I want to remember them in our prayers as well, that the Lord might touch that young man and raise him up, if that be the will of God, and help him through these days. All right? So if you would help us pray about these things, then pray for our service tomorrow night. We'll be having regular prayer meeting time here at the Island Ford Baptist Church tomorrow night. And so I want you to pray for us in that God might bless and help us in the service, that he might help me as I try to preach, and that he might help that some sinner might come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only tomorrow night, but also on this program. I pray that God might save sinners while we air the program. God might do that work that needs to be done. All right? So if you would, help us pray at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we are certainly grateful and thankful unto you for the privilege to be able to come to the throne of grace, that we can just bow our head and lift up our voice, lift up our hearts, lift up our burdened hands and needs unto thee, Lord, knowing that you hear, and knowing, Father, that you're ever ready to help us when we call upon you. I want to thank you that you are a very present help in time of trouble. And Lord, we're living in a troubled day. We're living in a time of turmoil across our nation and literally around the world. And so, Father, I'm praying that you might meet these needs. Lord, help those that are calling out unto you even now. Father, I pray that you'd touch these that are suffering that we mentioned. Brother Richard Owen there in Fishersville, Virginia, suffering so with those broken bones. I pray that, dear God, you'd touch him and help him. I pray for Josiah Bryant and those, that problem with his brain that they're having down there in Hattiesburg. Lord, I pray that you'd help him and raise him up according to thy will. Father, I pray that you'd help my wife, give her strength and the tests she's going to have next week. I pray that you'd intervene in those and everything would go well and you'd get the glory. Father, I pray that you'd help Brother Cater, have him have a blessed day today on his birthday. Father, I pray that you'd ease the pain in his shoulder and that stuff he had and all that he has. I pray you'd help him and just, dear God, meet the need. I do pray for Brother and Sister Hall that you'd help them, that their strength would hold up and that they'd be used of God and you'd have your way in their life as well. Father, I pray that you'd just meet with us now. Help us on the broadcast. I am praying for the services on tomorrow night that you'd bless in that. And Lord, I pray that you just have your way, but also, Lord, I'm praying that you'd bless in the broadcast right now, that it might be a blessing, that we might say something that be a help to some saint, that we might say something, point some sinner to the Lamb of God that can take away their sin. And Father, I pray you'd just have your way and get the glory and the honor. We ask it all in Jesus' lovely and precious name. We pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to be looking again today in Psalm chapter number 87. Psalm chapter number 87 and verse number 2 is where we're going to be taking our text. So if you'd like to be turning there, Psalm 87, verse number 2, and we'll listen to another song by our family that I trust will be a blessing to your heart, and then we'll be right back with the Word of God. Well, amen. I trust that song was a blessing to your heart as it was to mine. Amen. I'm glad there's truth in that. I may get too old to do a lot of things, but I'll never get too old to pray. And I'm glad we can still be a prayer warrior. Amen. Thank God for the prayer warriors. As a matter of fact, I feel so blessed that ever since I've been here at the Island Ford Baptist Church and been broadcasting on WSOF Radio, I've had people that have let me know that they stand with us in prayer and they hold us up in prayer every single day, and I am so grateful and thankful for that. You're our real friends. I'm telling you, it's a real friend that prays for their friend. Amen and amen. Well, we're in Psalm chapter number 87 and verse number 2. Psalm 87 and verse number 2 is where we're taking our text. The Bible says, "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." Now, we've looked at this over and over, and I just real quickly give you a rundown and give you my thought where I can get to my point today, if I can, by the help of the Lord. But we've been looking at this about the gates of Zion represent Israel. It represents Jerusalem particularly. And the reason that God loves the city of Jerusalem is because that's where his temple was going to be. That's where his temple was. And, by the way, will be again. There'll be a temple in the millennial. Amen. There'll even be a temple in the tribulation period, according to the scripture. And so we're looking for that to come about, to be another temple that'll be built there in Jerusalem. But in this context of looking at it this way, God loves Zion, the gates of Zion. We'd say the doors to the house of God, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Jacob represents all of Israel, and the dwellings are the homes in Israel. So God said he loves his house more than he does anybody else's house. That's really the way we look at it. And so God's interested in people gathering together in the house of God. And I've been giving you some reasons why that I believe that public worship is to be preferred above private worship. Again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have private worship, that we shouldn't have secret devotions. We should. We should have private devotions and a time just us and the Lord. No doubt we should. And I'm not against family devotions. I think that is a very commendable thing as well. But they should never supersede or substitute public worship at the house of God. Amen. Now, I gave you two reasons already that that is so. I told you I'm going to deal with four. The first reason is because God gets more glory from public worship than he does private. When we worship him as a group, when we worship him together, he gets more glory than when individuals worship him apart from one another. The second thing that I used was the fact I said God may meet with us in private, but he has promised to meet with us in public. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And I'm glad Jesus has made a promise that when we come together to worship him in spirit and in truth, it doesn't matter if there's a large number, as long as we've come together for that purpose, he's going to be there in our midst. And we can glorify him and praise him that that is the truth. Now today I want to start with the third reason why I believe that public worship is to be preferred above private worship. This third reason is this: there is more edification for the saints from public worship than there is private worship. I'm going to say that again. There is more edification for the saints. Not only does God get more praise, but God's people get more help out of public worship than private worship. Throughout the scriptures, believers are symbolized as sheep, right? And sheep are prone to get into danger when they are alone. But they find comfort and protection as well as fellowship and provision when they are in the fold among the flock. The shepherd might leave the 99 in the fold in order to go seeking after that one straying sheep. But when he finds that straying sheep, he lays it on his shoulder and he brings it back to the fold. God is interested in his sheep being together in the fold. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, verses 4 through 6, our Lord told the story plainly. He said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Amen and amen. You see, our Lord said that's how that the shepherd would do. Now, in Solomon's poetic book, The Song of Solomon, he paints a beautiful picture of a young woman longing to be introduced to the shepherd. But she is afraid of being confused among so many different voices. So she is advised to follow the footsteps of the flock. That's the phrase that he uses. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1, verses 7 and 8. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" She said, "I want to be with my shepherd." And he says, here's his answer, verse number 8. "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." See, in these verses, the symbolism is plain. The flock, in verse number 7, shows his, our Lord's, assembled saints. Amen. While the shepherds mentioned are apparently the pastors and the teachers who are leading the flocks. Amen. This clearly shows that Christ recommends gathering with his assembled saints for those who are seeking information or edification. Amen. In Ephesians chapter number 4, Christ tells us about the gifts that he has given to his church. And he tells us about the purpose or purposes of those gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You see, we can see very plainly from these verses that Christ expects his saints to gather together in public assemblies that they might listen to preaching, and that that preaching is for the perfecting of the saints, which would mean the maturing or the completing of the saints. He expects those saints to be gathered together to hear the preaching. He also said not only that it was for the perfecting of the saints, but he said for the work of the ministry, which apparently cannot be done from the confines of our private devotions in our own private homes. That work of the ministry must be done through the house of God and the gathering together or assembling together in the house of God. Isn't that right? That is right. Amen. Amen. Now, he's showing here that these things, this perfecting of the saints, is a public work. This work of the ministry is a public work. And he goes on, he says, "and for the edifying of the body of Christ." Amen. Now, that would clearly show that public preaching and the public ministry edifies Christians more than private worship can accomplish. You might well remember that the psalmist confessed that he had become envious of the prosperity of the wicked and had allowed his feet to almost slip from the path of righteousness. Do you remember that? Psalm 73. He says in verse number 2 and 3, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." See, he began to despair in his thoughts. Verses 12 and 14. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I had cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. This man had been watching the unrighteous, and it caused him, the wicked's prosperity caused him to almost slip from the paths of righteousness. It caused him to despair in his thoughts. But we can see where he found help. Look down at verse number 16 through 18, Psalm 73. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, and thou castest them down unto destruction. Amen. It seems to me that it is obvious that this saint had begun to entertain thoughts in his mind that it did not pay to serve God, because he saw the wicked prospering in the world. But somehow he made his way to the house of God, and he heard a sermon about the death and the end of the wicked, and there he understood that it does pay to live for God and to serve him. Well, that's all the time we have for this broadcast. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow, and we'll carry on from there. Thank you for listening.